makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Strange as it seems, while it looks simple enough, nobody has ever been able to copy X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative. They tried to copy the box, they imitated the spelling, the tinfoil, everything they saw. But X-Lax just can't be copied. Through 28 years, millions of people have found that there's no substitute for genuine X-Lax, for its pleasant taste, for its mildness, for its gentleness, for its effectiveness, and for everything a good laxative ought to be. All these good qualities sound like it might be expensive, but X-Lax isn't. A box of 6 tablets is only a dime at any drugstore.
The Happy Accident. Thomas A. Edison was the father of modern electrical appliances. The Mazda lamp, the storage battery, the stock ticker, the motion picture machine. Not to mention all the innumerable electrical improvements that go to make the modern factory. Only once did any of Edison's well-laid plans result in the completely unexpected. The consequences of this accident are heard literally around the world. Now go back to 1877. At present, Edison is in his workshop at Menlo Park, New Jersey, experimenting with a machine for recording Morse code telegraph characters so that they can be repeated if necessary. With him is his brilliant mechanic, John Cruzy.
Take a good look at this machine, Cruzy. I may want you to make me a larger model.
All right, Mr. Edison.
You see, the principle is simple. The vibrations of the Morse telegraph characters have made tracings on this paper. Now, by pressing this tracing point down on it, you can repeat the message on another piece of paper.
Let's see it work.
I'll revolve the cylinder fast, and you can get the general idea. You know, it's often occurred to me that that sounds remarkably like someone talking. Listen again.
Yes, yes. You could almost imagine somebody was speaking inside that machine.
I've got an idea, Cruzy. Suppose I fit a sort of mechanical diaphragm to this machine which would receive vibrations when I talk into it.
Yes.
Then I can use this same idea in registering those vibrations on paper. No, it can't be paper. It's got to be something that will take an indentation.
Well, they use wax for etching glass.
That's
you might try...
That's it, Cruzy. That's it. I'll put some paraffin on the paper, and that may solve our problem.
Let's get busy on it right now, Mr. Edison.
Yes, yes, let's start immediately. You know, Cruzy, I've found something that might change the world. Well, we're all ready, Cruzy. I'll say something into the diaphragm first. You revolve the cylinder while I talk.
All right.
I am Thomas Alva Edison. It is warm today. All right, Cruzy. Stop now. Now let's put the tracer back at the beginning and see what happens.
All set, Mr. Edison.
Let's give the cylinder a whirl.
Mr. Edison, draw me a model for this machine and I'll build one. I'll bet you can really make a sort of revolving cylinder that will talk back.
Just like wife, eh? God forbid. All right, Cruzy, I'll draw a sketch and when the machine's finished, we'll surprise the boys.
Working 30 hours without food or rest, John Cruzy finally completes the rough machine made from Edison's sketch. It is a strange-looking contraption, a clumsy, hand-turned cylinder with tin foil on it to make the necessary indentations. In the shop, a few of his other mechanics, including Carmen the foreman, are looking it over.
That thing'll never work.
Nope. The boss is all wrong this time.
I don't know. He's never been wrong yet.
I tell you, it isn't practical. Who ever heard of a machine talking?
Nobody ever did. But that's no reason someone can't invent one.
Say, I'll bet a box of cigars that it won't make even a sound.
Hello, Carmen.
Mr. Edison. Hello, Cruzy.
I'll take that bet, Carmen. Do you think I ought to take his cigars away from him, Cruzy?
Yes, go ahead. Serve him right.
All right, Carmen. Be sure and buy me some good cigars. Well, gentlemen, first of all, while I turn this cylinder, I'll talk into this little horn here. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Yeah, a nursery rhyme's just about what a gimcrack toy like that needs. You're getting old, Tom, fooling around with that thing.
Wait a moment, Carmen. Now lift up the tracer point and put it back at the beginning of the cylinder.
Mary had a little lamb. Its teeth was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went...
Well, Carmen... How about those cigars, eh?
Gosh, I guess I lost.
And thus it was that the phonograph was born. This first model now reposes in the South Kensington Museum in London. When asked what the future of the new toy would be, Edison replied that he felt it would be used in offices to record letters and conversations, and in other ways prophesied many of the types of recording equipment now in everyday use. Strange as it seems, this wonderful invention of the phonograph resulted purely from an accident. The Lowdown on Hollywood. Every time you go to a motion picture theater and see your favorite star on the screen, remember this. The motion picture industry is not dependent for its existence on Wall Street or on public response. It is dependent on the fact that cows eat mustard. Research authorities have revealed that the sulfur-bearing impurities in mustard are necessary to the chain of chemical reactions which take place in the manufacture and development of motion picture film. And motion picture film is made from cow's hide.
Thus, strange as it seems, the fame and fortune of Hollywood can be directly traced to the startling fact that cows eat mustard. The mule that owns a farm. It is 1929 in the town of Verdon, Oklahoma. Within the National Bank of Verdon, business is progressing as usual. A man goes up to the cashier's window.
Good morning, Mr. Bond. What can I do for you today?
I've come to transfer old Draper's account.
Oh, yes, you're the executor of the estate, aren't you?
Yes. He left quite a nice little piece of property.
Yes, Draper was a conscientious man, although sort of eccentric.
You're telling me? I was about the only man who ever warmed up to him much.
Well, let's get this account settled. I presume he willed his money to some relative.
Well, not exactly a relative. Fact is, he left it all to Jack.
Jack who?
Just Jack.
Well, I've got to have a last name, you know.
There ain't no last name. Jack is Draper's old mule.
A mule?
Yep. Old Draper's willed his ranch and his $2,000 bank account to old Jack, his mule.
I'll be darned. What an idea.
Yes, but it was just like Will Draper to do it. You know, the first time I ever really got acquainted with him was one day when I was riding past his ranch. Old Draper was plowing with his mule.
Get up, Jack. Get Jack. Come on. Come on there. Ooh, hop, Jack. Come on. Come on. Get up.
Hello, neighbor.
Whoa,
My name's Frank Bond. I just thought I'd say howdy.
Well, my name's Will Draper. I ain't a very sociable feller, but my only real pal is Jack.
Oh, you mean the mule?
Yep. Me and Jack have worked this here homestead together. We're sort of partners, I suppose you might say.
Well, mighty good-looking mule.
I always figured as how if it wasn't for Jack, I'd have had a heck of a time in getting this here place plowed under and ready for sowing. So I see that he gets half the profit.
Well, I never looked at it that way.
Yes, sirree, Mr. Bond. Me and Jack are real friends, ain't we, Jack, eh? Say hello to the neighbor. Oh, come on now. Come on, say hello, Dad Burnett. Come on.
Say, did you teach him to do that?
I sure did. I got kind of tired of my own voice.
Well, Mr. Draper, I'd like to have you drop over some evening after work is done. The wife makes awful good elderberry wine.
All right, Mr. Bond. I'll come over sometime. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get up, Jack. Get up. Come on now. Show me what you can do. It's a lot of work to do yet.
And that was the way I first got acquainted with old Draper and his mule. I didn't know till after the funeral that he'd left everything to the critter.
Well, Frank, there's one sure thing. He's the only mule in the world with a bank account.
Yeah.
Strange as it seems, but true, in 1929, Jack, an Oklahoma mule, was the owner of a 27-acre homestead and had a $2,000 bank account. We do not know how Jack invested his savings, but trust that he used good judgment. You know, Pike's Peak is one of the highest mountains in America, yet if we stacked all the boxes of Ex-Lax sold in a single year, one on top of the other, they would tower 100 times higher than Pike's Peak. This tremendous sale did not rise up overnight like a modern skyscraper. It was built year by year for 28 years. More and more people found by actual experience that there wasn't a finer laxative than Ex-Lax in the world, regardless of price. And so one told the other, until today, Ex-Lax is the largest selling laxative in all the world. And that's a record built on sheer merit. Try Ex-Lax. Find out for yourself how much milder it is, how much gentler, how very effective, and yet how pleasant to take. Ex-Lax, you know, tastes just like delicious chocolate. Write this down on your shopping list right away. A box of Ex-Lax. It costs only 10 cents at any drugstore. On the next Strange as It Seems broadcast, you will hear some amazing facts about Kipling's Road to Mandalay. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. You can get a divorce without getting married.